to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've decided to join today. Of all the many structural problems we have in Detroit city government, the one that I think and talk the most about is the property tax. It's so broken, in fact, that I've just begun to call it a scourge. It menaces Detroiters at nearly every point on the economic scale. Poor Detroiters, for example, have seen the property tax and their inability to pay it cause the literal seizure of their homes. They lose the most valuable assets in their lives because, well, they couldn't come up with money to pay property taxes. This practice, tax foreclosure, is the single greatest creator of the blight that we see in so many of our neighborhoods today. And at the top of the economic scale, the property tax serves as a tremendous disincentive to even live here in Detroit. Because the rate is so high, you could live in almost any other community, even the wealthiest ones, for less money than if you buy a house in Detroit. A recent proposal by Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan hopes to change this, at least a little bit. It's called a land value tax plan, and it was unveiled at the Mackinac Policy Conference. The mayor says he could provide tax relief for homeowners and most businesses by increasing tax rates on vacant and blighted properties. The goal is to shift the burden from Detroiters living in and trying to improve their properties and neighborhoods to land speculators who, in many cases, have profited from the city's current tax system without providing value to the community. But what exactly would this plan do, and how would it help? The Office of the Chief Financial Officer for the City of Detroit answered this very question in a recent statement. He highlighted a 2022 study by the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy, and that study advocates for what's called split-rate property taxation, a system of taxing land at a different rate than houses or improvements. But what exactly is split-rate or land value property taxation, and how does it work? And would it really make the property tax less of a scourge, a menace for Detroiters? A little bit ago, I spoke with the study's lead author, University of Nebraska Lincoln economics professor John Anderson, and we talked foremost about how he would describe split-rate taxation to Detroiters.
Unlike the traditional property tax, which applies the same tax rate to both the value of the land and the value of a structure that may be on the land, in this case, you split the rates and you apply a higher rate of taxation to the land portion of the property value and a lower rate to the improvements or the buildings value portion of the property value. So you can split the rate, but the basic idea is a higher tax on land relative to the tax on structures.
And the goal here, why would this help Detroit homeowners if we did this?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And when we think about the impacts of property taxation, we're thinking about two primary goals, right? One goal is the efficiency of the tax system, and the other is the equity of the tax system. And so from an efficiency point of view, we're talking about the extent to which the tax distorts markets, either markets for land or real estate markets for structures. And so we don't want the tax to create distortions in the real estate market. So what would happen with a higher tax on land, of course, is that it would discourage the holding of vacant land, and it would remove the disincentive there is for making improvements on the land, developing the land or redeveloping the land and putting structures on it. So that side of it is the efficiency effects, right? Discouraging the holding of vacant land and encouraging the development of the land with structures. The other goal, of course, has to do with equity, fairness in the property tax system, and we care about that immensely as well. And in this case, our estimates of a two-rate or split-rate property tax system in Detroit would result in a reduction in property tax bills for the vast majority of residential property owners in the city. And of course, lower property tax bills would result in higher property values for those homeowners.
So as part of your study, you looked at some municipalities in Pennsylvania that adopted these split rate tax systems. I'm wondering if you can talk about how it worked out for them and whether we could expect the same results in a city like Detroit, which is really kind of different from most other cities in the sense of its size and how much vacant land we have essentially created over the last 50 years.
Yeah, that's a good question. And so we commissioned several background studies as part of the larger study here. And one of those focused specifically on Pennsylvania cities where they have implemented split rate taxes. Approximately 20 cities in Pennsylvania have had or currently have split rate taxes. Most notably, the city of Pittsburgh, which had a split rate tax regime for quite a few years. And in particular, during the 1970s and 80s, when Pittsburgh was a declining industrial city due to the steel industry. So not completely unlike Detroit in that regard. Some of the other Pennsylvania cities we looked at are smaller, of course, and maybe not as comparable to the city of Detroit. But the analysis of the impacts of split rate taxation in the Pittsburgh cities were incorporated into our thinking about what could happen in Detroit. The evidence is that the split rate system encouraged business formation or business location in those Pennsylvania cities, which would be beneficial. We think the same thing would be likely to happen in Detroit as a result of the implementation of a split rate tax system. So increased business activity and increased overall property values as a result of the split rate system. The value of land may go down somewhat according to our estimates, but the overall property values go up because of the lighter taxation of the structures.
Okay, so that's the theory behind split rate property tax or land value property taxation. And I want to thank again John Anderson, professor at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, for talking to us about all of that. Now, though, this is a real proposal. This is something that we are mulling over here in the city of Detroit and that the mayor is trying to get the votes in Lansing to make sure that we can actually try it. So we want to have another conversation about what all this looks like and what it means. And we've got a really appropriate guest for that. Jay Rising is the chief financial officer for the city of Detroit. Jay, welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning.
So let's start with where you are in this process. The mayor talked about this idea up on Mackinac, unveiled it for everyone. Obviously, he couldn't just push a button and make it true. Talk about where you are in the process of actually implementing something like split rate taxation in the city of Detroit.
Sure. So as you know, it's a process where we have developed the concept. We think we have a pretty good handle on how we think it can work in the city and under Michigan law. We will need state approval of the legislature and the governor through some legislation authorizing this to happen. And so right now, we're going through what the mayor announced at Mackinac, that we are wanting to talk to interest groups and have listening and working group discussions about the effect of the tax on different types of property so that we can make sure there's no unintended consequences of what we're trying to do. You know, Michigan has had a property tax in place for 130 years, and this is radically transforming taxation for the state and the cities who would like to use this. And so, you know, such a transformation really should be done carefully. I'm trying to do that.
So let's talk about how different the rates might look. I'm a homeowner here in the city of Detroit. I know what my tax bill looks like. I also know that for vacant land, often the tax bill is something like $500 or $1,000 a year. What would the split rate do to the sure. gap between those two things?
Sure. Now, as a homestead or a homeowner in the city, you have a millage rate of about 89 mils, mm-hmm. 69 mils. That includes about 20 mils from the city's operating levy and about 6 mils from the state education tax. The idea is to exempt those two levies. You would not collect those levies on your property. And in place, we'd impose a new levy on your land. To make this a fairly revenue-neutral tax for the city, the rate would have to go up, but the incidence will change. Homeowners who have a lot more value in their improvements than they do the land will see a tax cut. Vacant land, who has all the value in the land, would see a tax increase because we'll increase the number of mills. We'll cut 26 mills, but we'll impose for the city and the state only another 185 mills approximately. So you'll see a much bigger increase on your land, but the value of your land is only, on average in the city of Detroit for a homeowner, about 4%.
And over time, I imagine what the goal is that you incentivize development of more of this vacant land so that it can be taxed at a higher value, and you might be able at some point to lower the rate for everyone.
It's exactly right. Okay. So you think of it, a lot of development in Detroit right now, you have to run the hurdles to get a tax exemption because it's just not economic. Our property tax rates, especially on non-homestead property, to make that development rather than do it in the surrounding areas. What we're trying to do is really lower the barrier to entry for Detroit. So you can do development in Detroit or you can do development in the surrounding area, probably on level footing. And it changes the tax abatement statutes in a way that right now you would get a 15-year tax abatement down to about these levels that we're proposing. Well, this would be permanent. So you don't have a situation where I'm a developer, I'm creating, for example, affordable housing. I'm going to maintain affordable housing as part of my deal with the city for my abatement for the 15 years I have my abatement. After that, the restrictions come off. They may want to sell the property at that time, but the property value goes immediately down because my tax rate just goes automatically up. So that makes the initial financing much harder. That makes the interest in doing the development much harder. But what we're doing is saying, you have a permanent tax cut. Any tax, city taxes, any state education tax will be reduced to zero on the improvements you make to land. Now, you'll pay higher on your land, mm-hmm. but your improvements are really the bulk of the value of a piece of property.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking with Jay Rising. He is the chief financial officer for the city of Detroit. He's a seasoned financial expert. This is someone who spent a really long career in finance at the state level. He served three different Michigan governors as a treasurer, deputy treasurer, and advisor. Most recently, he was cabinet secretary for Governor Gretchen Whitmer. We are talking about the proposal here in Detroit to move to a split rate taxation system for property taxes, where land and dwellings would be taxed at different rates. The idea is to put more of the burden on people who are holding vacant land in the city of Detroit and ease some of the property tax burden on homeowners. We'd love to hear from you during the conversation as well. Give us a call. Are you a property tax payer here in the city of Detroit? I am. I know all of us complain pretty mightily, especially this time of the year when tax bills just came out, about how high they are in the city, how high they have been for such a really long time. Do you think those taxes are fair? What would you do to ease the tax burden on folks in Detroit? Do you think this idea of splitting the rates between land and dwellings makes sense? Is that something that will lower the amount that we're all paying? What other ideas do you have for reforming property taxes here in the city to get things going in terms of neighborhood improvement, development, all of the things that we want and desperately need in the city to make it a better place to live? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today. We'll work you into the conversation that way. Jay, before we get to our listeners, I want to throw something out that I've been thinking about with regard to this proposal. So from a policy perspective, I can completely wrap my mind around why this makes sense, and I can understand what the goal is. But I always think that there's an important gap between policy and behavior. So if I am someone who is sitting on vacant land in the city of Detroit and you increase my taxes, why would I pay them? Is one of my questions. Why wouldn't I just refuse to pay the taxes, wait out the 3-year period during which I can do that without the county seizing my property, and then maybe pay a little of them or enough to stop that foreclosure, to stop from losing it, hoping that ultimately this goes away. And I guess what I'm getting at is the value of this land to the people who hold it is low. And that's part of the reason that they don't develop it, that it's not much of an asset. And so the threat of losing it, if you don't pay higher taxes, is a pretty minimal threat to someone who's sitting on something like that, still waiting for it to improve in value so that they could make money off it. What is that? Does that have to be part of our calculus here?
I think it has to be part of the discussion. I mean, I'm hopeful that, and I expect that people who have bought property around the city and speculation of what may happen to values and what may happen to development, did so with good intentions and really do want that property and are holding that property for the potential development of their property. And so as a speculator, I'm not going to let this go just because my taxes go up from $35 for my lot to $100 for the lot. What is equally as important in this proposal is, well, there may be the penalty of holding this land by the increase of tax I have to pay. There's an incentive now because people are going to be interested in my land. And so my value will reflect that also. So in some ways, this is not a bad deal for speculators because developers will be more and more interested in development of land because the cost of development has just been decreased. So there's a chance that someone may say, well, I'll just defer my tax bill by letting it go for 3 years and I'll pay the interest and penalty. I don't think it's a wise financial move. There's a risk associated with this also. If they had no interest in the property and really just was holding it because it was just cheap enough to, you know, not throw away, then they will be at risk of loss of the property. We still have a foreclosure system in the city, as much as we've tried to find ways to help people avoid foreclosure. But if I own a piece of land or abandoned building that I'm not maintaining in order just to have the low assessment on it, and you don't pay your taxes, we will foreclose on it. We'll have the county foreclose on it. Sure. Yes, because someone will develop it, and we'll work with someone to develop it if the owner doesn't want to keep it.
Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go to Bernadette in Old Redford. Bernadette, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Stephen. I am thinking about the tax abatements that the well-to-do get. I'm thinking of the Illiches and the mortgage guy. Mm-hmm. And they have huge swaths of land, and they get abatements where we don't get in our neighborhoods. And when the city forecloses on property and it falls into disrepair and has to be torn down, we have neighborhoods that look like jack-o'-lanterns with empty spaces that end up being dumping grounds.
Yeah, Bernadette, absolutely great point. And it's an important question because we have large land holders who also happen to be developers here in the city, and there's a question, I think, about how this would affect them and how the abatements that they get, not necessarily for that vacant land, but for their development, I guess, affect this problem of low values for vacant land and the holding of those things. Jay, that's a pretty complicated question and issue, but I'll leave it to you to sort it out.
Let me give it a shot, because I think it's an important question. It's one that's been raised and we've heard. I think the biggest thing I could say, two things. One is that this proposal reduces residential homeowner property taxes by 25%. So we are addressing the high tax rates on residential property owners. The second is we understand how difficult it can be to get abatements to develop property. What this proposal does is make it uniform for everyone. There's no process. It's guaranteed that you have a reduction. There's no tax on your improvement that you'll make. It's equivalent to what the abatements were being given out by council to any developer who runs through the city's process and gets council approval. You don't need approval for this. Once it's in place, you have a permanent reduction on your taxes on your development. And that's equivalent to an abatement for everybody. Any developer can have it. So it's not the Illiches, it's not the Gilberts. It's for every developer in the city.
So what would be the practical effect, though? I mean, the Illiches in particular are sitting on a lot of vacant land. So are the Maroons. There are some other smaller developers who are doing the same. Would this push them to have to develop?
It would eliminate one of the impediments, which is the costs they're going to have to pay on the property taxes once I have a development, because they've been waiting for this, for the plans. They've been waiting for abatement. Now, suddenly, the abatement's there. You don't have to do anything to get it. You can make your decision based on whether the project is economically feasible.
Okay.
At the lower tax rate.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to continue this conversation with Jay Rising, the Chief Financial Officer for the City of Detroit. We're also going to hear from you on the phones and on social. 313-577-1019 is the number. You can also go to Twitter, hashtag Detroit Today, and we can make it part of the program that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
Your neighborhood.
Your community.
Your voice.
Join the conversation on 1019 WDET.
We're talking with Jay Rising, Chief Financial Officer for the City of Detroit here on Detroit Today. We're discussing the idea of split rate tax on property in the city, a proposal made by Mayor Mike Duggan that he says will ease the burden on homeowners and increase the burden on people who are sitting on land, speculators who are holding land, waiting for it to increase in value before they might sell it or develop it. We want to hear from you during the conversation as well. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. And you can go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. This is a seriously profound change that has been proposed to the tax system here in the City of Detroit. It would change a number of things. We want to make sure that people really understand what's happening and how all of it will work. Let's go back to the phones here and get to Paul in Detroit. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much, Stephen. My question revolves around farmers and the fact that they're making great improvements to the land. And this might be a slam dunk, but is that improvement kind of counted as counted to keep that lower rate, or would they all of a sudden have a higher tax rate on their land, which they are making excellent use of, and they already have a hard enough time making a living?
I was going to say, they're not making a lot of money, but they are growing. They are doing something really important in the city. Paul, I really appreciate that question. Jay, what's the answer for farmers?
Yeah, you know, that is exactly the group that we want to talk to, because it's not intention to increase taxes on productive use of the land. without a improvement beyond what the current law would allow. So if farmers have the ability right now to have their property exempt and put it into a conservation easement or a state agricultural abatement, we want to make sure we keep those programs open for them. As a whole, we don't look for what use of the land is being made if it's not improved. Crops are not necessarily an improvement to land that's taxed on top of the land value. So right now, farmland is taxed at its productive value, which is, you know, as a farm. So it's viewed as vacant land. But there's abatement programs and there's other programs in state law right now for ad valorem taxes, and we want to investigate and understand how farmers are using those and whether we can make sure they're applying to this tax also.
One of the things that we've had a long debate about in the city is, of course, land use overall, but especially agricultural use of land in the city, which has been on the rise for quite some time. I mean, we've always had that in Detroit, but it is a much bigger part of the overall parcel usage than it used to be. Is something like split rate tax going to incentivize more of that kind of alternative use of land, you know, places that used to be homes or businesses that are now farms, or does it discourage that kind of experimentation or alternative thinking about things?
I think that it actually encourages more the development of improvements upon land rather than alternative uses of land and leaving it as land. So land as storage, land as parking, is not encouraged by the tax. So the salvage yards that we see pop up in Detroit and nowhere else, you know, seem to be a function that the tax rate on land is assessed very low in Detroit. And so salvage yards are available to come here much easier. But what this is trying to do is say, you know, if you're using the property as less than its best use, its most productive use, you should have to pay for that. And that's what land value taxes do. Yeah. But if you're using the property at a higher value use by making improvements on it, we want to encourage that.
Again, Paul, really thanks for the call and the great question. Let's go next to Jenny in Detroit. Jenny, what are you thinking about today?
Well, my opinion is that the city of Detroit has the highest millage in the country, one of the highest millages, if not the highest millage in the country, and mm-hmm. that all our property taxes should be reduced. That's my first point. My second point is that it seems like the large developers are getting grants and abatements while you want to put a tax on the property owners who've been paying taxes when those same developers left the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they've been paying the taxes and been here and believing in the city and paying these high millages, when these developers were not interested in Detroit, why do you want to increase the tax on them now? My third point is it appears that the city's mandate is not to be a partner to big developers, to help them not only acquire the land cheaply, because now you're incentivizing people to give up their land for foreclosure or lose their land for foreclosure or sell their land cheaply because they can't afford this high tax rate, so that now the developers can come in and sweep in and get it cheap, and on top of that get an abatement and not pay taxes for 20 years, get grant money on top of that and the hundreds of millions of dollars,
yeah.
while it's like a reverse Robin Hood. You're taking from the poor.
Jenny, I think that's a really great point. I'm glad you called. Jay Rising, how is this not shifting the burden again more toward homeowners and less toward big developers?
And there's a lot to unpack here. So I'll try to be very clear. The proposal actually reduces the burden on homeowners. It lowers the tax by about 25% of their total tax bill. Your property tax as a homeowner is the accumulation of multiple millage by multiple different local units. The schools have 13 mills operating debt, 18 mills non-homestead mills. The city has 20 mills operating. The the county has their millage. So there's a lot of tax on, it's not the city levying these taxes, it's all the accumulation of it. This is way too high, and it's discouraging development in the city, and it's discouraging homeowners to buy in the city and to stay in the city. So what we wanted to do with the proposal was take homeowners especially and say, your value in your property is all in your home. There's very little in the land. There's like 4% on average. So if I shift the tax to the land for homeowners and away from the building on the, your house, it's going to lower your tax because the rate I'm going to impose on your land, on that percentage of your property value, will show a decrease in your total tax bill. That was the intent. So the intent is to say development should be taxed less. Holding vacant property should be taxed more. Yeah. And it takes Detroit from the top 10 in the neighboring cities around it down to, you know, the middle of the pack, going from on a $250,000 home in Detroit from $8,500 to about $6,200. And in cities, in big cities in the state, we're number one right now, takes us down right to the middle of the top 10. Yeah. So what we tried to do is lower tax burden for homeowners and increase it for unproductive use of land.
Yeah. So quickly also, what about people who participate in the side lot program, which is really popular in Detroit? If sure. I've got a vacant lot next to my house that I own, am I going to see the taxes on that go up?
You will see the taxes on that go up. Right now, it's on average $30, $35. That could go up to $90 to $100. But you would have to have more than three side lots to make up for the average reduction on the on your homestead piece of property. So that we've thought about this and realized, and you know, on average, people have a couple side lots at the most. But if you have three side lots, you'll still break even. 97% of the homeowners in Detroit will see a tax reduction. We've guaranteed the other 3% will not see an increase.
Okay. Jay Rising, Chief Financial Officer for the City of Detroit. It was really, really great to have you here to help us sort through this really profound change that has been proposed for property taxes. I hope you will come back as we get more into this issue and get it through the legislature to help our listeners understand what's going to happen. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to look at the recent trial surrounding the estate of the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, and why so many were captivated by the story. Here's a hint. All of us have questions about what happens to our possessions when we leave this world. How should we be planning for that? We're going to talk about it with Darren Finding, who's an attorney who specializes in probate law, Ryan Patrick Hooper, who's the host of Culture Shift here on WDET, and Nick Austin, who's a producer for Detroit Today and also an attorney. Stay with us for more Detroit Today.